Well, amen. Open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And let's stand together out of love for the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse number 28. Proverbs 31 and verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. It's no surprise that a Mother's Day sermon should come from Proverbs 31. Although, to be honest, in 15 years, I don't think I've ever preached from this passage on Mother's Day. It is a passage that we're familiar with. It's not necessarily one that we understand or memorize or practice, but it's one that we're familiar with. It is not a chapter of commandments. There's not a single commandment in this chapter. You know, God doesn't always have to say, thou shalt or thou shalt not, to tell us what He wants us to do or be. It does give us a visual description of the virtuous woman. This passage was written by King Lemuel, based on what his mother had taught him in his youth. You can search through the kings of Israel. There were no kings named Lemuel, but his name means belonging to God, and probably was a nickname given to him by his mother, and most likely was Solomon. The first 9 verses give some wise counsel, the kind of counsel that a mother should give her son, especially if he's going to be a leader or going to be king. In verses 4 through 7, she admonished him not to drink alcoholic beverages. Notice in verse number 4, she said, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. You see that alcohol affects the mind, it affects the judgment. And she said, Lemuel, if you're going to be king and people's lives are going to be dependent on your decisions, you can't be clouding your mind with the effects of alcohol. And oh, for another generation of women who would keep that stuff out of their homes instead of keep bringing it in. I was at the racetrack gas station the other day. I am a regular there. And I was eating a hot dog there at the little counter by the window. And a lady came in with her son. Her son looked like he was about my son's age, around 10 or 11. And they have their little beer cave refrigerator section in the corner. And she said, now, you're not old enough to go in here yet, so you stay outside. And she went inside, came out with loaded down with 24 packs of beer. And what kind of example is that setting for a son? When your mother is buying the alcohol in the family. Oh, listen, you're not going to end up in a drunkard's grave or a drunkard's hell or an Alcoholics Anonymous or trying to get over that stuff if you never get started in that stuff. Oh, for some mothers to go home and pour that stuff down the drain and keep the alcohol out of their homes. In verses 8 and 9, she admonished him to use his power to help the helpless and not to abuse his power as king. And then in verses 10 through 31, she described the characteristics and behavior of the virtuous woman. Herein is some good advice on finding a good wife. And I think every mother should desire for her son to find a good wife. And then she ought to leave her alone after he finds her. She ought to set the example of what that kind of woman is like. Now, I'm just going to say this in passing, but the real problem in Proverbs 31, if this is Solomon, is first of all, he didn't follow his mother's advice. And second of all, his mother didn't set the best example with this advice. For if this is Solomon, his mother was Bathsheba, the man who committed adultery against her husband while he was off at war with the king. And if it's Solomon, he grew up and married 700 wives and had 300 concubines and not a virtuous one in the whole bunch. And I'll just say that it matters what we say, but it matters more what we do, and it matters most what we are. And a lot of folks are real good at dishing out good advice. They just don't keep it themselves. And no one listens to the advice of someone who doesn't live it first. But whether this was Solomon or Bathsheba or not doesn't matter so much to our message, because this is God Himself, through inspiration, giving us this passage and describing to us the virtuous woman. Now, some of these things we discuss
will seem terribly old-fashioned to some. But you know, the Bible's not old-fashioned. The Bible's timeless. The Bible's not just applicable to one culture. It crosses every culture. The Bible is not just for one century, it's for every century. And things that may seem old-fashioned or old-timey to us, you know, technology is wonderful. Thank God for technology. You know, it's kind of funny. My dad is real into technology, and I'm real old school. He's pushing 70, and I'm pushing 40, and I like the old school stuff more than he does. Came out here yesterday, and here's my old car out here. The only technology it has is a clock that doesn't work. It's right twice a day. And it's a little stereo that works out of two of the four speakers. I get in my dad's car, and he's got a computer monitor there. He's got GPS. He's got a backup camera. He's backing up. I'm watching behind us as we're backing up out of the... And I said, Dad, you're into technology, aren't you? Oh, yeah, I love all this stuff. But you know, technology is awesome. I'll tell you something. There's some things that are old-fashioned that are always in style. You know, virtue is old-fashioned, but it's still in style. Old-fashioned goodness is still in style. Decency is still in style. And some things we're going to discuss seem awful old-fashioned to generations who have grown up on women's lib and in a broken culture and fatherless homes. But I tell you something, they're timeless because they're biblical. And they're still true to us today here in the 21st century. Now let us take a closer look at the virtuous woman. Notice first the search for a virtuous woman. Verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Now in Bible days, rubies were considered the most precious of gemstones. Diamonds were not considered all that great. But rubies were the most precious of all gemstones. And men would search far and wide to try to find even one good ruby. And so God says to us, and by the way, most people back in Bible days would never possess for themselves even one small ruby. But the Bible says a man who could not afford rubies could find a virtuous woman, could have a good wife. And so God says that a virtuous woman is worth far more than rubies. And who can find her? Now, according to the Internet, we know the Internet's always right. There are a little over 7 billion people on the earth. 3.4 with a bunch of other numbers after it, billion females, and about 3.6 billion males. It's the percentage is like 50.4% male, 49.6% female, and thank God they still don't consider the other. There's no third option. And the reason why there's more male than female is because in India and China and different places where Christianity is not practiced, they kill off the baby girls to have boys. They abort the baby girls. You know, only in Christian countries is womanhood really treated as ought to be treated. I'll challenge anyone on that statement. You want to go show me a communist country where women are elevated? You want to show me an Islamic country where women are elevated and treated with respect? If you show me a Bible-believing country, and I'll show you where mothers and wives are treated with respect. Now, if there's 3.4 billion females on the earth, just under 50% of the population, how many of them do you think would qualify as virtuous, God-fearing, Proverbs 31-type women? I would challenge the young men, the single guys and boys growing up, when you think about getting married, you search until you find a virtuous woman. You search until you find her. Better to get married at 35 to a virtuous woman than to marry a Jezebel at 25 and be looking for someone else at 35 again. Far better to search and search and search until you find the right virtuous woman. Where do you find her? Well, the Bible says that a prudent wife is from the Lord. If you have a good wife, you ought to thank God because He is the one who gave you a prudent wife. You find her when you find with the Lord. You're not going to find this kind of woman hanging out at the bar at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're going to find this kind of woman where God is. And I tell you, the virtuous woman is hard to find. And when you find her, you should treat her like a precious ruby, something as your most prized possession. She ought to be the most precious thing in your life. person in your life, thing in your life. Hey, the Bible says, whoso findeth a good wife findeth a good thing. Amen? And you ought to treat her with respect. If you don't treat her right, don't be surprised if in 20 years she's tired of living with you. Amen. Some guys ought to be glad their wives go to church because that's the only reason they hang around. Because they fear God. You got to treat your wife with respect and thank God that you found a virtuous woman. Notice secondly, the stability of a virtuous woman. Verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. A good woman is trustworthy. Her husband trusts her in his heart. He doesn't have fears in the back of his mind all day long. He's not worried down deep inside about her. His heart safely trusts in her. Some women are not trustworthy. Some men aren't either, but I'm not preaching about the men this morning. By the way, I was thinking the other day, I wish God had given us a Proverbs 32 describing the virtuous man. But you come back for Father's Day and I'll talk about those guys. But some women can't be trusted. They're unstable. They flirt all the time. They're promiscuous. They're not stable. They're selfish, worldly. Some can't be trusted with money. That's why the Bible says he shall have no need of spoil. Why does he need spoil? He's got to go out and get some extra money to pay for what she's buying. I know you good woman here at church, that's not a problem for you. But I know men, they got to work extra jobs to pay for the purse collection or the shoe collection. Or all the stuff constantly being bought. Because he can't trust her with a credit card. He can't trust her with the bank book. But you know, the virtuous woman, she's stable. She is trustworthy. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. She's trustworthy and he knows what he's coming home to. In verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And here's a woman that loves her husband. She's not doing him evil. Amen? She's doing him good. It's not just the absence of evil. She is proactively doing him good. Well, am I speaking a foreign language this morning? Listen. I know women that have the exact opposite attitude. I ain't doing nothing for him. I ain't doing nothing for him. He can do something for me. You know how childish that sounds? She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, let me say a word about domestic abuse. Because it's not just men beating their wives, and it's not funny when the wife is beating on the husband. That's evil. And you'd be surprised how often domestic abuse is the wife inflicting injury upon her husband. And it ain't right, no matter which way it's going. It's not healthy, it's not right, it's not biblical, it's ungodly. I know women that are emotionally abusive, verbally abusive. One guy, I told him, I said, you need to hide a recorder and record some of the things she says about you, because I think one day you're going to end up in court and you're going to need to have some evidence. I mean, it's amazing. I'll tell you something, the virtuous woman, she does good and not evil in her house. Here's a woman that's not selfish. She does good to others, particularly her family. You know, Proverbs 9 says that a foolish woman is clamorous. That means she's always looking for a fight. Proverbs 14 says, oh, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. It'd be like if my wife went home today and here's the house that we renovated and we painted and we put everything up, and she just goes home and she takes a sledgehammer and starts punching holes in the wall and tearing the lights out of the ceiling and ripping off the molding around the doors and busting out the windows because she's going to have her way. And that's how some women are. They don't tear apart the sheetrock. They just tear apart their relationships and they tear down everything in their homes because of selfishness and mean-spiritedness and the flesh. So the virtuous woman, she does good and not evil all the days of her life. Notice the skills of the virtuous woman. Verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Here's a woman who's willing to work with her hands. You know that wool was used to make clothes. Flax was used to make linen. And I think that making clothes is kind of a lost art. Probably our kids are thankful for that. My mother's always crocheted and sewed and stuff. And for a while there, around Christmas time, the kids were like, I hope I don't get a yarn hat. or a sweater with one arm down to here and one arm up to here. You know. But certainly she knew how to make some clothes. But I think that what's important is not that she could make clothes as much as she was willing to work with her hands. She was willing to do things and to work. She's a good shopper, verse 14. She's like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She gets her household off to a good start, verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. In other words, she's up before the dawn. Make sure that everyone has the food that they need for the day. Remember my pastor, Brother Smith. Brother Smith grew up just after the Depression. But he said that no one knew the Depression was over where he lived because he was out in East Texas and his daddy was a sharecropper and they lived in a house on someone else's land they built themselves. And he said his mother would get up every morning before anyone else in the dark and she would make a huge breakfast with eggs and bacon and he called them cat head biscuits. Now, I don't think any cats were involved. I think they're just big biscuits, but I'm not sure. You know, East Texas, you never can tell sometimes. But cat head biscuits and molasses, and she would make it, and they would get up and have a huge breakfast, and then there would be enough to put in a sack and take to eat as a snack later. She did that every day, 7 days a week. And now we don't do much of that anymore. I remember my pastor, he said one thing, he's in his 60s at the time. He said, I was at a hotel. They didn't have any hot breakfast. They had these things they called Pop-Tarts. He said, and just these little pastry things, real thin. He said, I put it in the microwave, popped it out. He said, I tried to eat it. He said, I put butter on it. It's like eating sawdust. Now here, he grew up on all that dangerous food, eggs and bacon and bread and molasses. And he's 70 and kicking along strong. I grew along on Pop-Tarts and Eggos and cereal. I'm 40 and creaking along half the time. I think maybe we ought to reconsider some things. What do you think? So here she gets up and gets her household off to a good start. She has the ability to make good financial business decisions, verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. Boy, she's not just sitting around the house. I mean, she's out doing things. She's busy. She's got a good business sense, makes good decisions. She considers a field and buyeth it. She can plant a vineyard. The fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. Some of you from the World War II era, you probably remember the victory gardens and stuff. Gardening is, again, something we've gotten away from. She has strength, verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Verse 18, she sold merchandise on the side. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle. Now, the spindle was something that a woman would use to spin thread. Get it? Spindle? Spin? Use that to spin the thread to make rope or thread, I guess. And the distaff is what held it in place and held the wool or linen in place while she made the thread. In other words, you know, all those antique things you see sometimes, little wooden things where women would sit down. She knew how to do all that sort of thing. She's busy. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth the girdles unto the merchant. Verse 26, here's a good skill. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Here's a good life skill. She knew when to talk. She knew what to say. She wasn't involved in idle gossip. She wasn't saying unkind things. When she opened her mouth, it was with wisdom, and in her tongue was the law of kindness. She was a nice person. She had nice things to say, or she didn't say anything. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household. She managed her house. Eateth not the bread of idleness. Now these are all old-fashioned ideas, and maybe some things don't apply today like they used to. I remember when high school had home ec and home ed, and girls learned housekeeping skills. Now no one wants to learn those things. Everyone wants a career. Can I tell you something? Houses still need to be taken care of. Children still need to be raised. And it is not a second-class position to be a housewife or to be a homeschool teacher in your family. Now, we don't want to have the attitude of snobbery on either side, but I tell you something. Sometimes my wife over the years, people have looked down on her Well, all she does is stay home with the kids. All she does is stay home with the kids? All she does? You know, someone did some math and figured out that doing all that she does, she'd be making a six-figure income. The different skills that she has. And so I'm not saying it's wrong for people to seek careers, but I'll tell you something. There's nothing wrong with encouraging our girls. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be a housewife and a mother either. Amen. I know that's old-fashioned, and I'm not trying to step on any toes. But I'll tell you something. The Bible encourages young women to get married, bear children, guide the house, be keepers at home. And I tell you, I thank God for that. The virtuous woman has some skills. I have great respect for my wife. She doesn't make our clothes, and really I don't want her to. But she does work willingly with her hands. We're not morning people, so she doesn't cook a big breakfast. Most of us in our family don't even really eat breakfast. If I do, I cook my own. A couple of eggs and a piece of toast. But she does fix us big dinners because we're night people. She's a good shopper. Saves us a lot of money. Clips coupons. She doesn't keep a garden, but she feeds six people a dog and a donkey. That's pretty good. She doesn't go out and buy fields, but every major business decision, I seek her advice. And when it came to our home and our original financing and refinancing, she's the one that works with the banks, not me. She's smart. Can take care of things. See, you can disagree or not disagree. It doesn't matter to me. But I never wanted my wife to be 100% dependent on me. Because what happens if I kick the bucket? And she doesn't even know where the checkbook is. She doesn't know where the bills are. She doesn't even know where the bank account is. How many of us know women who have been in that kind of situation when their husbands died and didn't know where anything was or how to take care of anything? So I just want her to do everything, so it's not a problem. I'm kidding. But I never have agreed with that kind of philosophy. Or my daughters also. My daughters all have their own bank accounts. My oldest daughter works two jobs. She pays her own bills. She balances her own checkbook. She has her own budget. She saved up her own money. I want her to find a man that's strong enough for her to respect, but I don't want her to be 100% dependent on someone. I want her to be her own person. And the virtuous woman is someone, and she can go out there and she can consider a field, she can measure the acreage, she can find out how much it's worth, she can weigh the costs and balances of it and make decisions. And I thank God that my wife has that kind of wisdom also. She speaks with kindness. You ever heard my wife say anything unkind? I would challenge anyone in our church to give me one example of her speaking unkind things. Maybe the kids could come up with something. That's the thing with my wife and the kids. She's so nice all the time, but when they finally push her over the brink, watch out, brother. Just watch. Anyway. She speaks with kindness. I never see her idle. When she is idle, it's to rest, not because she's lazy. You know, my wife grew up without watching television. I grew up watching TV all the time. She grew up without hardly watching it at all. And so sometimes we kind of have to make her sit down and watch something with us. Now she's on a Voyager kick. You know, the old Star Trek. I told my kids, I said, I don't care if you watch Star Trek, but if you grow up to be Trekkies, I'm disowning you. If you prance around with Vulcan ears on, you know, and Starfleet Academy stickers on your car, and go off to these conventions and stuff. I said, one thing to watch something on TV, another thing to become it. I said, no, you didn't go to Starfleet Academy. You know, that sort of thing. But anyway, she's on that now. But, you know, I just want to point out that I have great respect for my wife. And I see in her the skills of a virtuous woman. Notice number four, the strength of a virtuous woman. Verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. I've noticed lately a lot of Proverbs 31 workout clubs using this verse. I don't think there's anything wrong with a lady working out. I think there's something wrong with a lady working out in yoga pants, half her body showing. There's nothing wrong with a lady exercising. But the virtuous woman that I read about in Proverbs 31 is not strengthening her arms and working out so she can flex in front of a mirror and impress everyone with how she looks. She's strengthening herself to do her work. And to be this virtuous woman. And she's strong. She may not be muscle builder strong, but she's a strong woman. She's not a helpless damsel in distress. She's the strong cornerstone of her household. And I love my wife's strength. Now, she can't open her own jars. She's afraid to jumpstart a car. She can't bench press 200 pounds. But I admire her strength. And by the way, just this personal preference, when I hug my wife, I don't want to feel rippling muscles. Just me. Bones sticking out. I like a little give. Amen. But I love her strength. She's a strong person. I'm a strong person. That's all right because we work together and complement each other. A woman can be strong physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and in her self-control. And if you can't control your tongue, you can't control anything. Strong. She's a strong person. She's a virtuous woman. She has stability. She has skills. She has strength. Notice the service of the virtuous woman. Verse 20. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She has a tender heart. She has compassion on the poor. She doesn't just care, but she stretches forth her hands and gets involved personally. When was the last time you personally got involved in helping someone less fortunate than yourself? It's not just her for no more. Now, I pay attention to things, and I know of homeschool groups, women's church groups and stuff now adopting this very isolated attitude towards Christianity. Some are now saying that the wife should just be a housekeeper and should not be involved in any church ministries, be involved in church at all. She should just focus entirely on her family. That's fine if you're not a Christian. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to serve the Lord. And the virtuous woman, she's not just concerned about her household. She's out here stretching her hands out to help the needy. I'll tell you a funny story. A pastor friend of mine, his wife invited a lady out to speak at a Mother's Day banquet. This is years ago. The lady that was coming was the wife of a businessman. A very wealthy businessman. He had about 500 employees at one point. And he was a preacher also. Mostly he was a businessman. And they were at that church. So they invited her to come out. And so she spoke to these ladies. And then the question and answer time. And here's all these ladies. I mean, the ladies working at school, food service and fast food, and some were housekeepers. They're all relatively poor, middle class. And they're asking her questions. They said, "Now, when do you find time to clean your house?" And she said, "Oh, I don't. I have a maid." "Well, when do you find time to homeschool the kids and teach the kids?" "Oh, no, I have a nanny." "Oh, what kind of ministries are you involved in at church?" "I'm not involved in any ministries at the church." I think someone finally asked, "What do you do?" I mean, Christianity is not just us sitting around somewhere. Christianity is us being involved in things. And here, this virtuous woman, she's taking care of her household. She's taking care of her finances. She's taking care of business. She's taking care of her husband. But she's also involved in helping others. And the virtuous woman serves the Lord. She's involved in charitable service. She gives of herself. Be selfish and blame it on the Lord. Amen. Number 6, how about the sight of the virtuous woman? Verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. In other words, the kids are out running around the snow with no clothes on. She makes sure that they're dressed. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Notice her clothing is described as coverings. Did you see that? Would you describe most clothing today as uncoverings? This woman clothes herself, maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Tapestry was beautifully embroidered material, but it wasn't see-through and it wasn't skin-tight. She covered herself with coverings of tapestry, and her clothing is silk and purple. When you see a virtuous woman, you know her by her clothing. She's not advertising what's not for sale. Amen. Now, this doesn't mean she's dressed in a potato sack. I've known folks been around a little while, okay? I've seen a few things. I've known some groups that they think you have to dress like you're on the set of Little House on the Prairie. And by the way, you don't have to wear denim all the time either. Got the denim jumper going all the time. Am I stepping on toes today? I'm not trying to. It's Mother's Day. I'm trying to be nice. You should see what I'd like to say. I remember when my wife and I were young, many, many years ago. And she got a bunch of clothes, and they were all dark colors. Gray and black and dark brown and stuff. And I said, honey, you're 22, 23 years old. Wear some bright colors. You know, we're not in mourning. You're young. Wear some bright colors. And there's no sin in wearing attractive clothes. Notice her clothing is what? Silk and purple. She's dressed up a little bit. Now, everyone can't afford really nice clothes, but I tell you something. You don't have to dress like a homeless lady pushing a... I'm really offending people. Pushing a grocery cart to be modest. You can wear modest clothes that are attractive. And thank God they're now... You know, so much we have to buy online these days. Music, you have to buy online, books. And now, thank God, there's some good modest apparel clothing sites you can buy decent clothes to. But I tell you, the virtuous woman, you can tell her when you see her. I've heard many women say to me, I'm amazed at how differently men treat me when I dress modestly than when I don't. The sight of her, you see her. One more thought. One last thought, number 7. The success of the virtuous woman. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Notice you might even circle the phrase, in time to come. Very short-sighted these days. There is a time to come. It's very sad to see a woman, or a man for that matter, who has lived selfishly, unbiblically, with all the wrong priorities, all through their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and getting on up there in years. And they get toward the end of their life. All they have is broken relationships. Kids don't want anything to do with them. Grandkids don't want anything to do with them. Just a long line of bad decisions. Broken health. No one there. And I'm sorry for folks who end up in that situation. I'm related to people in that kind of situation. I feel sorry for them. I'll tell you something, it doesn't have to be that way. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband praiseth her. In the time to come, it's worth it to be a virtuous person. At the end of your life, do you want an ego wall full of trophies? Or do you want children and grandchildren who rise up and call you blessed? Here in the Bible is a picture, an ideal, but one that can be lived out if we choose to do so. And probably the most important factor about this woman is she fears the Lord.